Happy birthday, George Orwell. Eric Arthur Blair. Today's the 25th of June 2015, and it will be the 8th time in attendance at George Orwell's grave on his birthday, as a small number of us remember kind of what the book 1984 stood for, and we talk and discuss in the 1984 symposium civil liberties, freedom of speech, data privacy, and so on. Here's something I would like to read that I wrote back in, I believe it was 2014, which I think is still relevant today. I once heard of a TV journalist who kept the names and addresses of his Syrian sources in a little black book, and all the video he shot of activists complete with faces on an open hard drive. He was detained by the secret police in Damascus, which was scary for him but worse for his contacts. In his easily accessible files, he had neatly identified, catalogued, and given phone numbers for a significant band of people the regime was trying to catch for daring to protest. The journalist was freed, shaken but unharmed. The activists fared much less well. Despite frantic efforts to warn each other and flee, some were caught and haven't been heard from since. That all happened before the Snowden revelations, and as a reminder that even if you're unfazed by GCHQ and the NSA, reading your less than riveting emails or tapping your boring phone conversations, issues of data security are often deadly serious. As a blogger who sometimes works in regions where information too often has a horrible life and death quality to it, how can we live up to the responsibility to protect ourselves and other people? We can only do it by protecting the data we share and safeguarding our communications. It's often said that nothing online is private, and as the Snowden files have shown, this may well be true. Nonetheless, we have a duty to not simply resign ourselves to that sorry state of affairs. We must not roll over so easily. Our responsibility is to do whatever we reasonably can do to keep private and sensitive information exactly that, private. Which is why at the moment the issue of secure communications has become a bit of a hobby of mine, even if it can seem schoolboyish at times, or amateur James Bond with a touch of tinfoil hat. It's not just about wanting Yahoo and Google to stop profiling me via my email content. It's not just about wanting my own government to stop archiving my electronic transmissions. The lesson from that true example in Damascus is that sometimes people need these tools to protect lives. Let's start with email. Email was never really designed to be private and anonymous. When it was developed 40 years ago, the main focus was to share research data from one computer to another. I doubt the words anonymity and security even crossed the minds of geeks involved in its design. Email headers and routing protocols show you who's sending and who's receiving. That's just how it works. I'm no expert in all of this, and neither is 99% of the population, but many are now fed up of government snooping and archiving, companies scraping data in order to profile its users so it can serve more effective adverts. I'm all for the big wins that big data can bring, but only when there's an option to opt in or out. I'm inherently, and I'm sure rightly, suspicious of any app or platform that says it's secure. I'd hate to recommend anything with a confidence I can't back up with irrefutable evidence. And that evidence should have to come from the experts and obsessed people who have rolled up their sleeves and rummaged deep down and dirty in all the hard and software, picking it apart into digestible code and reassembling it so they can understand how it ticks, how it talks. A catch with that is even if an app is declared safe by those qualified to do so, and the encryption algorithms have at least a few years head start, what if someone has inserted malware into the hardware to log your keystrokes or intercept your voice and camera data before it even hits the app? If I suggested that last year, I'd really been burnishing my paranoia credentials. Post-Snowden and the revelations were still coming to remember. All this is a very real proposition, and perhaps even old news to some. Protecting against that is a tough call. Sort of setting up offline air-gap computers in the basements, as The Guardian has done. true open source licensing is a crucial element here because it allows real scrutinization. Thankfully, more and more open source software solutions are gaining visibility. But we also need more open hardware if we're to really have confidence about securing our communications. Short of that isolated laptop in a deep dark basement. Nonetheless, there are more reasonable steps we can take to protect our data, and in the case of the Syrian Mukhbarat, to not merely do their spy work for them, however inadvertently. We can make accessing private data time-consuming or irritating enough to make a difference. A few more hours for the secret police to get into that data, for example, might have helped one or more Syrian activists escape unharmed. On a larger scale, if we care about the principle of privacy in our own societies, we have to make strong encryption normal practice for everything. Not just a journalist and his Syria contacts, but you and your shopping list and everything in between. Sure, these steps may not stop the shadowy agencies that like to listen in from listening in, but at least they'll start to realise that we don't want them to do that. And if the law won't protect us from unwanted intrusion, that we will do what we have to do to protect ourselves. Consider encryption an act of protest and dissent, one that doesn't even require you to stand at a barricade or get tear gassed. The principle of privacy, if we want privacy, needs to be fought for at every level. It has to become a terrible cliche to talk about. It has become a terrible cliche to talk about George Orwell's nightmare vision of 1984. But, well, read the book again and be reminded of the horror it depicts. And then realise how short a step it is from the telescreen to your iPhone screen. If governments can peek through your webcam, so can the criminals. If governments can read your email, so can the criminals. Sometimes they're the same thing. So I'm just throwing my bags into a car right now and heading to Sutton Courtney, Oxfordshire, where we shall once again picnic with George Orwell and discuss more along these lines, show and tell some of the technology we have, and I guess just meet and greet some of those that make a regular pilgrimage to the grave to discuss these things, and some of those who just rock up for the first time. If you come in, looking forward to it. And if you are unable to make it, then check out the hashtag #1984, that's 1984, symposium.